And welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live from our studios at the University of South Dakota today in Vermilion, and I'm joined in the studio now by Jing Williams. She's Associate Professor of Social Studies at the University of South Dakota. Welcome.
Thank you, Lori.
All right. Also with us, Morgan Hartenstein, one of her students. Morgan, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And Brittany Renzi.
Hey.
Nice to be here, too. Getting it all sorted out. So we're going to talk about Clay County's Fallen and this project that sort of does a little research about veterans. Jing, you want to tell us what the project is about?
Sure. Yes. This Clay County's Fallen research project actually started last year, first time. And this year is our second time doing this. Basically, I got a list of killed in action from Clay County, those fallen heroes, from the quartermaster of VFW Post 3061, Andy Howe. And then I did a preliminary research when I just got that list. And I was a little disappointed to find out it's really hard to find any information about those fallen heroes. Then I started to think, okay, this is something that I can do with my students. Started from last year, spring, I got my social studies method students involved. Let's do this. Each student, last year I assigned them each fallen hero. Right. Try to find information about them. And of course, it's a guided research. It's not just, okay, say, go find it. It's right. Not in that way. Yeah. It's a collaboration actually with a local community, Clay County Historical Society, Clay County Veterans Office in the courthouse, the library, the public library, and also our ID Weeks library. So I just give students all these resources, and they go into the community and they find information about their own fallen hero. And they wrote a biography of that fallen hero and also a reflection essay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What were you hoping to, obviously, the students are going to learn the process of research at that point, and what are you hoping for the stories themselves and the people who aren't with us anymore?
Well, the thing is, fallen hero is an important part of our local history. I want to help preserve the local history. It's a part of social studies. That's what we do. In terms of the research part, I really want our students to, nowadays generation, right? Okay, research is not just about Google.
Right.
We really need to go into the community, talk to the people in order to find the information. And that's what most of my students actually learned from through this process.
All right. Morgan, let's start with you and tell me a little bit about who you were assigned and where you started on your research.
So I picked Foster Kilborn off of the list. He was actually listed under World War II veterans. But as I was researching, some of the information that I was finding contradicted that fact. On his death certificate, it stated he was a World War I veteran, and I knew he was born in 1892, which would have made him closer to World War I time period to have served in that. So after digging through some of the old school newspaper records, I was able to place him in World War I. He had previously enlisted, which is why there was not a draft card for him in 1913. And then after the war, he came and he served here as a rifle coach and instructor for the military science department, which was really neat to kind of find that he had such a local connection and such a connection to the university in general. And I found countless articles of him with his students doing so many things for the community. Him and his wife chaperoned dances. They were constantly being dinner guests at different like sorority and fraternity houses, which I just thought was really cool that they were really giving people to the community.
So what did you learn about, you know, so his service itself, what did you, were you able to discern anything about where he went or what he did?
Yeah, so he enlisted in 1913 down in Omaha, and from there he served in the 5th Cavalry Regiment, which was stationed on the border, Mexican-American border, to deal with kind of some hostile tensions between the two countries leading up to World War I. And then once World War I started, he was commissioned as a second lieutenant into the tank corps where he served in France.
Okay, because all that's changing right at that time, from the cavalry to...
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Were you inspired to sort of do more research about what that transition was like then in World War One?
I am really interested because I feel he was living at such a turn of the century, and the things that he must have experienced from all of that would be very interesting for further research.
Yeah. All right, Brittany, who did you learn about?
My person was Olin Lyle Johnson, and he was in the Korean War. He had enlisted in 52. He was 22 at the time. He was a small town farmer boy. When he went away from, when he came back from training, he actually married a woman, Lois Bennington. They got married, and then about a week later, it was kind of sad, he went away to war, he went overseas, and then by February 1st, he was in Korea. So he actually sent a letter home stating that he would be going to the front lines, and that was actually the last time that they had heard from him, had any kind of correspondence with him. That was pretty much it was hard to find a lot of things on him. I found a lot of stuff from Ancestry.com, but, you know, he just really, it was just wasn't much to him because he just was 22 when he went in for service, and then he died at 22, so.
Right. Some perspective there as well. Jing, tell me, you know, about some of the obstacles that they have to overcome to sort of dig into these lives that are, you know, just mentioned in a newspaper, mentioned somewhere.
Based on, I should say, after reading students' reflection papers, I find out these two major obstacles. Mm-hmm. Now, this is actually one of the reasons I one of the questions I asked the students. So the students, a lot of them, they told me the first obstacle is it's hard to find anything.
Right.
It is hard to find anything. Especially during the time when technology was not that advanced, not like nowadays, everything's on Facebook, right? But then back then, you don't have much record. That's the first thing. And they really have to go into the community, talk to people, find a little bit of, like, say, so-and-so told me maybe the relatives is living in here, and then I go over there. Oh, I actually found, we had several students actually, they found family members or relatives, and they conducted interviews with them and try to get information from the family members that way. And that's good thing, really, really good. Once they find, even a lot of my students, they say, once I find a little bit of information, newspaper clips, yay, I'm so excited. Right. It's really hard. It's very true, because I'm also researching a World War I volunteer role, and from Clay County, his name was Elmer J. Wallace, the namesake of the American Legion Wallace Post 1. Mm-hmm. He was a prominent World War I Army colonel. Even so, it's hard to find information about him. I've been researching him since last year. I'm still doing it. And so that's the first obstacle, hard to find information. And the second is funny. It's very funny. Second information obstacle is they don't know how to stop. Once they find a little bit of information, I want to know more. They are always driven by their own questions.
Yeah.
Didn't know when to stop. So the good thing is we have a deadline. You have to have something done by this day. So, yeah, these two are very popular obstacles students encounter.
After years in journalism, my motto is a deadline is permission to move on to something else.
That's right.
Otherwise, it'll make you crazy looking at that deadline all the time. So I have to ask you, put some perspective into your own lives. Some of these people are around your age. Do you think you're better off to have Facebook and photos and, you know, texts and letters and email out there leaving a trail of who you are at this age?
I think so. Well, yes and no. I think the art form of letter writing has gone away, which I think is very important and would be really fascinating to see, you know, maybe more people did it nowadays, but looking back over documents and to see, like, you know, letters wrote or whatever, you know, that's really interesting. That's like history comes alive. You can see it in your hand. You can feel it. You can touch it versus being on the internet where you just look at a screen and you just see it. So I think, you know, it has its pros and cons, I guess. It would be more available to on the internet because people do post things on Facebook or post things on the internet, pictures or whatever, but it would be really cool to see live, physical parts of history.
Yeah.
So,
Morgan, your thoughts on the project and how it sort of changed your academic, the way you think about things academically and maybe professionally in the future?
Yeah, this was just such a great project to really be able to experience someone's life. We kind of talked about how they're the unsung heroes of our history books, and they're the people who no one really learns about, but they should. And so as a future teacher, I would like to do a similar project like this with them. I still have all of the resources I found on Foster, and I want to, when I'm talking about World War I, bring him in and show his picture to the students, because that is a real person. And I definitely think for all of us as future history teachers, it makes history tangible for students if you're just going to stand up there and lecture a ton of facts about how many people died or this battle happened here, but you don't give human faces and actual stories that they had children or they had wives. Right. It doesn't make a connection. So I think this was a really good reminder for all of us how we need to make those human connections.
We're short on time today, so I'm going to say thank you to Jing, Morgan, and Brittany, and come back again with more of these really interesting stories about research and history and sort of preserving that. I appreciate what you're doing. Thanks.
Thank you for inviting us.